I want you to ask yourself this one question. As we're getting ready for Servolution Week, and people have been working for weeks now to get us ready for this, I want us to ask this one question. How can I be great today? How can I be great today? Our culture and our world gives us all kinds of ways to be great. And they're usually self-centered. They're usually ways that we can get noticed and people, we can get more followers and we can get more money and we can get whatever. And that's what our society tells us greatness is all about. But I want us to go back to this one question so that when we leave here today, I hope this is a question that goes on with us for a long time. How can I be great today? What can I do today that will make me great? I want to go back about 60 years and tell you this little story. There's a man named Sam Rayburn, and Sam Rayburn was a Texan, and he was the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the United States House of Representatives, for longer than anybody else has ever been. So he was known, he was respected, people thought very highly of him. And he heard one night that a friend of his, and his friend and his wife had lost their teenage daughter suddenly at night, and she had passed away. And Mr. Rayburn went to his friend's house early the next morning, and he said, I heard, and I just want to come and see what I can do to help you. And his friend said, well, you know, we're just trying to make arrangements. We've been on the phone all morning, and there's really nothing you can do. We're just sort of struggling through. And Sam Rayburn asked him, have you had your coffee yet? And he said, no, we haven't even taken time for breakfast this morning. It's just been chaos. And Mr. Rayburn, the leader, the speaker of the House of Representatives, said, well, the least I can do is make you a cup of coffee. And so he goes into his friend's house, into their kitchen, finds everything he needs, and starts making coffee that morning. And his friend remembered and said, Mr. Rayburn, I thought you had a breakfast meeting with the president this morning. And he said, I did, but I called the president early this morning and told him I had a friend that was in trouble and I was going to have to cancel on him. And I'm here just to make you a cup of coffee. Now listen, greatness would have said, keep that meeting at the White House. Our society would have said, make sure you show up to meet with the president, and don't just meet with him, get a selfie too. Make sure you put that online. Make sure everybody knows how important you are and how great you are. Mr. Rayburn was just concerned about making his friend a cup of coffee. Now, what we talk about in the sports world, we talk about who is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. If you are in the sports world, if you follow at all, it's a question asked every single day. Who's the GOAT? Is Tom Brady the greatest football player of all time? And I would say, no, it was Roger Staubach. But anyway, all right. Just so we know where we're at here. Was Babe Ruth the greatest home run hitter of all time? Maybe. Is Michael Jordan or LeBron James the greatest basketball player of all times? And Rigo, I just want to tell you it was Michael Jordan. It was. Runs around here with a LeBron jersey on and stuff. The greatest of all time. Well, we want to remember them. We love to categorize people. Like, they were great. Oh, here's the top five. Here's the best this. Here's the top 10 of last year. We love to put numbers on it and decide who's great and who's not. The biggest winners and the biggest losers of 2023. That'll be something at the end of this year. So you'll see that list. And Jesus constantly was trying to answer this question for us. He was trying to point us in the right direction. There were people multiple times that came to him and said, hey, these weren't their words, but this is what they said. Can you tell me how to be the greatest? I really want to sit at your right hand, is what one of them said to him. How can we, they would even argue, have arguments about who's the greatest among the disciples. These were people, men who loved each other, who worked side by side, and they were still jockeying for position. Am I the greatest, or is he the greatest, or how can I be the greatest? What can I do to get there? And Jesus spent so much time dealing with human nature, just trying to remind us what greatness really looks like. Luke chapter 14, verse 11 says this, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He said that for those who exalt themselves, you're going to be humbled. If you lift yourself up, you're going to fall. If you go ahead and get on your knees, then I'll lift you up. That's what he's saying. He says to these people around him, because they're arguing about who's the greatest, and he says, look, think about it like this. If there's a wedding feast and you've been invited, no matter what you do, don't walk in and sit at the highest place of honor at that wedding feast. Because if you do, and someone more distinguished than you walks in, the host of the wedding is going to say to you, I didn't really mean for you to sit up here on the stage. I meant for you to sit way back here in the back. And Jesus said, people are going to watch that, and they're going to see you get moved from the stage all the way to the back row. He said, so here's what you need to do. If you'll put yourself on the back row and the host sees you back there and you're important to the host, he'll move you up. And other people will recognize that and they will want to honor you. When we lift ourselves up, we get pulled down. When we go ahead and kneel ourselves, humble ourselves, he lifts us up. This is something we deal with in everyday life. We are constantly trying to be seen, trying to be noticed, want somebody to look at me, notice my gifts, notice my looks, notice my money, notice this. And we do all kinds of things to get noticed. And Jesus is saying to us right here, look, if you'll just get back here on the back row for a minute, if you'll just not worry about being noticed, I'll move you up along the path. Look at this next scripture, Matthew 20:16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. You ever see kids jockeying for position in the school line? You probably did it, just running. The teacher said, don't run. And so they're walking as fast as they possibly can, trying to get to the front of the line. And I always loved it when the teacher would do this, because my last name starts with W. I was the last one. Always, all right, except some of you Zavalas, you didn't go to school with me. And all right, and so I was the last one that walked across the stage at graduation. Wooten is all the way at the end. I always loved it when the teacher would say, line up in alphabetical order, and now switch it around. Hallelujah, look here. I'm at the front of the line. I was at the end of the line. Now I'm at the front of the line. That's what God does with us. He takes us. We're messed up. We need him. And he takes us from the back of the line and puts us at the front of the line, not because we fought our way to the front or stepped on people to get to the front, but because of our willingness to do what he's called us to do and be what he's called us to be. Matthew 23 says this, the greatest among you will be your servant. Ooh, got real quiet real quick, didn't it? The greatest among you will be your servant. Think about it for just a second. Who is the greatest servant you know in your life right now? Who's the person who serves other people the most? It's amazing to have a boss who is not concerned about getting credit, but is willing to say, I just want to serve my team. I just want to be the person that lifts everybody else up. I want to make sure that I'm being the servant of all, not just the leader. If I'm the greatest, I have to be the servant of everybody. Watch what it continues to say. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I almost said exhausted. You will be exhausted. If you're trying to lift yourself up, it'll be exhausting. Because God can do it in a way that we never could. When he says this to the people around him, here's what he's saying. He's talking to a group of religious people. And they love to be noticed. They love to be seen. They like it when other people honor them for their position in life. And Here's what he said. Everything they do is done for people to see. Everything they do is for just for people to see. He said they make their phylacteries. Listen to this word, phylacteries. It's a leather box that goes, it would be on the head of a man who was going to pray in the morning. And it says, look, that Jesus said they make those phylacteries bigger than they're supposed to be because they want everybody to know I'm going to pray. Look at me. I'm special. I've got a big relationship with God. I'm important in all this. He says they love the places of honor at banquets and most importantly, the seats in synagogues. And they love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. They love it when people lift them up and honor them. He said the greatest among you will be your servant, not the person who's noticed, not the person who is lifting himself up, but the person who just says, let me find a place to serve. Worldly wisdom tends to be self-centered and ego-driven. Worldly wisdom is self-centered and ego-driven. We envy people that are above us. We disdain people who are below us. That's human nature. That's what we do. But if we believe all these things that Jesus says to us, we have to conclude one thing. The height of human existence is not fame, it's not fortune, it's not accomplishment. The height of human existence, take a look, is servanthood. The highest you can go in life is being a servant. There is no way you can be promoted above being a servant. Jesus valued servanthood. We've all been through this where we say things like, I just want to know why I'm on earth. Why did God put me here? How should I use my gifts? Or I don't have any gifts. And we wonder. And I want to clear all that up with one little sentence this morning. Servanthood is my assignment. Servanthood is your assignment. Who cares what the big picture looks like? If I start serving today, and there are going to be people all over Irving this week that are just serving our community. They're going to be passing out baskets of food, and they're going to be washing cars and taking blood pressure and all sorts of things, just serving. You cannot get yourself promoted higher than serving the people around you. It's impossible. If you're wondering, what am I supposed to do in my life? Serve. 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 I've told this story before. Somebody said to me years ago, I want to give my heart to Christ, but I'm afraid he's going to call me to be a missionary to Africa. And I was like, easy, buddy. Let's just get you to know Jesus first. I mean, don't be worrying about all that just yet, all right? It's servanthood. Serve right where you are. Who's close to you that needs you to serve them? That's sometimes the people we like serving the least. You know, the people that live in your house. Come on now. I've been picking up this shirt for 25 years. I'm going to punch them in the mouth with it next time. No. Servanthood. Servanthood. See, I don't have a lot of money. There are free ways to serve people. Sam Rayburn went to his friend's house, used his friend's coffee to make him a cup of coffee. It was his presence that mattered. It was his presence, just being there, just serving. This week, as we go out serving, it's what God's going to do that's going to matter. I just got to show up. I just got to show up. That's all he's asking me to do. He's not asking me to be good at something. He's just asking me to show up. He just wants me to find a way to serve. Sometimes we don't serve because we're embarrassed that we're not as good as somebody else. The problem with that thinking is there's always somebody better than me. There's always somebody that can do this job better than me. I always get a little bit of a kick out of it. I laugh about it quite often. Somebody will say to me, oh my goodness, I saw this TV preacher and he's always real cool. All right, right? He looks real cool, and they will say, and he said this, and they tell me what he said, and I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I said that last Sunday before you heard him say it. Doggone it. God didn't ask me to be better than him. God just asked me to show up. You see, when you're doing your job and I'm doing my job, the servanthood thing will happen and God will bless us. And some of us have been worried about our low station in life for so long. God will raise us up and raise us up and raise us up. There are people in this room and watching online right now that you are at a place in your life that you do not deserve, that you don't have the ability to be there. You did not get yourself there. You just said, I'm going to be a servant, and you watched God bless your life along the way. He opened the doors that needed to be opened. He closed the doors that needed to be closed. When we get that when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these other things will be added to us. When we get it through our minds, and we're getting it here at Grace Point, that when we will serve Him first and put Him first, He'll take care of all the other stuff in our life. But we have to first say, my highest calling, my assignment in life is to serve people, is to serve. And sometimes I got to get through some arrogance. Sometimes I got to work through my feelings about something. Sometimes I got to work through my feelings about somebody. God said, I need you to serve them. You're like, yeah, but God, you remember, And God's like, I didn't ask you that. I told you, your assignment is to serve. Just serve. I'll take care of the details. Jesus was the one who came to serve us. There's another beautiful story. Happened in 1953. It was about a man named Albert Schweitzer. I'm going to introduce you to all kind of history people this morning. Albert Schweitzer, he was a missionary, a theologian, just a leader in so many circles. And he had won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952. And he had been invited to Chicago by some city dignitaries so that they could honor him. And he gets there by train. It's 1953. He gets there by train, and he steps off. He's 6'4". He's got bushy hair and a giant mustache. And he steps off. There you go. He steps off the train, and flash bulbs go off, and people are so excited, and they're clapping, and the local officials are trying to shake his hand. Thank you so much for being here. And he looks over their head, because he's 6'4". He looks over their head, and he sees a little lady struggling with two suitcases across the street. And he says, gentlemen, excuse me for just a minute. He walks across the street in 1953, and a little black lady was struggling with her two suitcases. And he picked up her suitcases, and he helped her onto the bus. And he told her to have a good day, and he stepped off the bus smiling, and he walked back to the place where he was supposed to be standing, and he said, thank you for giving me a moment. And one of the people who was organizing the event leaned over to a reporter that day and said these words, that's the first time I've ever seen a sermon walking. What if we chose to live our lives in a way that preached Jesus to everybody around us? That we were servants in such a deep way that other people would go, I don't know what he's got, but I want some of that. I need to know what's going on in his life because I don't have that. I don't have that grace, and I don't have that patience, and I don't have let me help others attitude. What if we lived our life as sermons walking through life every day? Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28 says this, and we're going to close. Let's get them. Come on to the piano, guys. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's unpack this verse just a little bit. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. If you want to be a leader, it starts with servanthood. If I'm waiting on a position, I need to forget about the position and just start serving. Just serving my family, my church, my community, my work, my friends. Just serving. Start down here. God raises you up. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Now, slavery in their day was not like American slavery was. It wasn't the brutal prospect that we know of as American slavery. Here's the way it worked. When you owed someone a debt that you could not pay, you worked for them. You gave them your life until your debt was paid off. You served them with dignity. You served them until you could pay off your debt. Look what he said now. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Remember what we're doing here. We've given our lives back to Christ. I can never pay the debt that I owed. He had to do that for me. But when I surrender my life to him and say, I just want to live my life for you, watch what happens. If you want to be first, you got to become a slave. If you start serving, then God exalts you. For even the Son of Man, Jesus himself, came to be served, did not come to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to be served. Jesus, he came so he could serve other people. And all the way to the very end of his life, he was serving others. The night before Jesus would be crucified, he's serving his disciples. And he knew that some of them were just going to abandon him within a few hours. One of them had already turned his back on Jesus. One of them was going to deny that he ever knew Jesus before daylight the next day. And Jesus served them. Jesus didn't serve people who deserved it. He served people. People like you and me. The next day, Jesus has been crucified, and as he's hanging on the cross, he's got a thief on one side that's telling him how terrible he is and just cursing Jesus, and the one on the other side said, hey, I'm going to paraphrase it, but he was like, I don't really know what this is all about. I'm not sure who you are exactly, but will you remember me? He was saying, when we die, will you remember me? He saw something in Jesus. And Jesus said to him, today, Jesus is dying on a cross. He's been beaten, crucified, and he says to this thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. He's still serving all the way to the very end of his life. Jesus dies. 3 days later, he's resurrected. Look at this. Jesus cooks fish for his disciples on the beach after his resurrection. Now, come on. Even Jesus loved a good fish fry. I'm just saying. What in the world? All the way. He is serving. He is serving. He is serving. How can I be great today? How can I be great today? It won't be with 1 million followers or $1 million. I might just become great when nobody knows my name. That might be when I become great. When nobody knows the good I'm trying to do. And I'm just doing it for Jesus. Just honoring him. Trying to put him first. And that's what this week is all about. That's what this week is all about. We're going to have fun doing it. And we're going to eat corn dogs and popsicles and all the fun stuff. But in the end, we're going to be a little greater at the end of this week than we were at the beginning. When we serve him. When we serve others. When we serve others. How can I be great today? I hope it's a question you'll ask yourself many times over in the coming days and weeks and months and years. How can I be great today? I want you to stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just pray together? Father, I thank you right now, God. You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. Lord, you you picked up the assignment that you've now given to us. You died in our place. You served us in the ultimate manner, and we thank you for that today. Thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. And God, we're just asking right now, Lord, that you just help us this week to share Jesus everywhere we go. That this week we would be in the great category. That, Lord, you would open the doors that need to be opened and close the doors that need to be closed. And Lord, help us with passion, Lord, to seek to be great every day by serving our fellow man, Lord. That the people that may never know our names, may never come to this church, we're just going to serve them. And we want you to bring the results, because we know we're not good enough to do it. It's going to be you. But we do want to show up this week, Lord. We want you to have your way, and we want your will to be done. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning or watching online that doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that today, Lord, they would recognize their need for you, and they would put you first. And they would just admit their past, their sins, their wrong. They would believe in you and who you are, that you truly are, Lord, the Son of God that died on the cross for our sins. And they would confess you as Lord of their life. And this would be the day that they start that relationship with you fresh and brand new, with a brand new starting line. God, we thank you. We honor you right now for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. So don't go anywhere yet. If you haven't signed up yet for a group to serve, there's still ways to do that. Just get out in the hallway. You can check all that out. If you'd like to give, you can serve that way. If you want to buy a backpack, if you want to buy a school uniform, however you want to serve, there's still many ways to do that. And so I just encourage you to do that and be as involved as you possibly can this week. There's some great stuff happening, so check it out. Also, if today is your first day here at Grace Point, we have our meet and greet right at the back. If you see Zach standing back there, he's waving a brochure or a bag or something at you. If this is your first day at Grace Point, we'd love for you to stop by. We just want to say hello, and we've got a little gift for you, so stop by on your way out. God, bless us as we go, and have your way with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.